You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. It's Wednesday. It's Al. It's Dan. It's your friends. And we are happy to tell you that we are here to make your day a better day. No matter what anybody else has done, we're here to help you make this a great day. Feels great to me. Do you feel better?
So how about a little background? Shema, O Israel.
Oh,
I still don't know what that is. I didn't have time to look it up after you had texted me last night.
I'm
revealing my ignorance once again.
Yes, yes. Well, no, not at all. So what Brother Wolven is referring to is I was recently challenged. Very nice, very nice. Gentleman came up and said, hey, can I help you? And I said, yes. And he had a bit of a Jewish background. And he said, you said something. And I need to correct you on that. And I said, okay. He said, you said, talking about Deuteronomy and the prayer of Deuteronomy that God gives to his people, the Shema, O Israel, passage, which is pretty famous. And the
Hear,
Jews,
O Israel, the Lord thy God, is one God. Yeah.
Right. And so the Jews, you know, they have a little... I forget the name of it right now. That's terrible. They have a little box or like two scrolls that they put on the doorpost because God told them put on the doorpost, put the frontlets on, you know, and they put on the doorpost. And when they go into the house, they touch that and kiss it, signifying that they hear the word of the Lord. And so I say, Shema, O Israel. And a gentleman came out and goes, no, it's Shema. Shema. I was like, oh, not Shema. No. It's Shema. I said, oh, okay. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
the pronunciation, the Western pronunciations of Middle Eastern names, places, is never correct, you know. Just like even, you know, we'll say Capernaum. You know, how many times are we saying Capernaum? Yeah. It is?
Capernaum.
Mm-hmm.
Capernaum. Yeah. So I said, oh, man, thank you. I said, I realize that, you know, we butcher a lot of Hebrew words and, you know, just the phonetics of it and the sounds and different things. So I said, I will try to correct that. So I did. So it doesn't bother me. You know, I want to be correct. I want to say things correct. But there are some people that really get bent out of
shape. I never
shape.
Heard it called that. So
what you know, did you
I
hear?
Learned
what
something
you
from you. I've never heard it called that. It just, to me,
really?
That's just, you know.
Oh, yeah. Study that out. Actually, the word Shema, however, I'll look it up and get it right, but actually means understanding. Understanding.
And so it was understand, O Israel.
Huh. Right.
That's the name of that blessing or prayer.
Right. And basically, God is saying, I'm going to help you understand how to deal with all of life's problems in this prayer. And it's a great study. And I shouldn't give this away because I might want to preach it sometime somewhere.
Yeah,
but
go ahead. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but here's the thought is that when Solomon prayed and asked God, God said, you can ask for anything. Solomon asked for, and everybody's saying,
Wisdom and understanding.
Right, right.
An understanding heart.
He prayed for understanding. He didn't pray for wisdom. He prayed for understanding. We understand that understanding and wisdom do go together, and there is a tie there, but he prayed for understanding. And so here's the correlation that God said, I already gave you understanding. I've already given you what you need. If you'll just listen to the word, if you'll study the word and all those things, then you'll have the wisdom that you need to be able to govern the people. And that's what Solomon wanted it for. He said, I've got to be able to help decipher right and wrong, good and bad in this nation. And so that's the Amen. Shema, O Israel. So kind of neat. It's a great thought. And great
so
message.
That fits in also with our topic of how do you handle whenever somebody corrects you? How do you handle when somebody compliments you? You know, the correction or the, you know, to me, the correction is something that I try to listen a little bit more to than the compliments. You know, it's always nice and it's gracious for people to say things. And to tell you the honest truth, I think people should be saying those kinds of things to their pastor because it's good for them. It's good for them to sort of acknowledge that, you know, that technically the pastor, the office of the pastor, is a gift to the church. And so think of many churches who don't have a pastor and they're looking for a pastor and they're really struggling because they don't have a pastor there. And, of course, the pastor being held in the right hand of Jesus Christ, you know. It is a blessing and it is good. But for me personally, whether it's a testimony meeting at church or whether it's maybe being introduced by somebody that maybe they were in our youth department or something like that, it's nice to hear those things, but I just cannot never let it in my heart. You know, I just try to I try to acknowledge it, and you know, so if somebody says something nice to you, you know, oftentimes I go, well, thank you, praise the Lord, and just sort of leave it there. You know, mostly that's usually what I say, but you know, still, it's good. It's a blessing. I just don't count on it, or you know, hopefully, need it. Because being faithful to the Lord should be good enough. And I know we're human beings and we like hearing that, but if you get addicted to what people say about you, man, when the negative things come, it's going to just tear you up and turn you inside out.
Right. My father-in-law said something that was a great soundbite of wisdom again. We say that so many times. That guy just had so much on the ball. He said to me when I was a kid preacher. He said, son, he said, if you start believing what people say about you when you get up to preach, you're in trouble.
Yes.
And I know a preacher that believed what people said when they got up to introduce him, and he's not in the ministry anymore. In fact, it was a terrible, terrible situation.
Yes.
Gone.
We could tell a lot of stories like that over the years, and it's just, you're right, when you start, you know, Saul started so well, and then the problem was, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, he had the favor of God, but at some point he became big in his own eyes, and then before you know it, God's removing the kingdom from him, because he doesn't deserve it.
What do you say when people do say nice things to you at the door? Somebody comes up and says, hey, Brother Wolf, that was a great message today. Boy, you really nailed it, and this really helped me. What would your response to that be?
Well, my first response is, I've been here 22 years. I've never heard that before. And then after they pick me up off the floor. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much.
It was
a blessing to be here today. Or, you know, the whole service was great. It just, I want to acknowledge them and you know, let them know I appreciate it. But it's only because of the Lord. And I'm not trying to sound fakely or pseudo-spiritual. I am wanting to give praise to the Lord because I do know that in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing.
Right.
I understand Romans that I know that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So so if anything is beneficial, I know it's only because of the Lord, and I'm thankful for it. And but I have talked to pastors too and said, you know, that was just phenomenal. Thank you so much, brother. That was such a blessing to me. And, you know, Well, you're very kind. You know, generally, you know, there's just a, we acknowledge it, we are sincere, but you know, we don't really like it. I don't like it. I get uncomfortable. I feel a lot better if we're joking around and, you know, tearing each other up and laughing about it. But personally, I get uncomfortable when people say, you know, kind things. I don't know why. I just may be jaded and so sinful inside that, you know, I almost think, okay, what's next? You know, like I'm being set up for a sucker punch or something, you know. And honestly, not everybody's that way, but I've seen that happen, and I just want to keep my wits about me and want to try to stay humble, and to God be the glory.
Right. And that's, you know, we're a lot alike. We are so much alike sometimes, but we are different because I absolutely have no problem with that at all because I'm so used to it. It happens like every time I preach. It's just unbelievable. And if you believe that, I got a little parcel of land I want to send you. Now, you said exactly what I say. I will say thank you so much. I appreciate that. But praise the Lord. You know, it's, I mean, we're just a mouthpiece. We're just a servant of the Lord. God can make the rocks cry out. So he started with a stone, and then he's moving up to the rocks if that doesn't work out. So, but that's exactly it. And you've got to, I mean, there should be some humility, but, and I do appreciate it. If you do a good job, if you did a good job, you know, working at the hardware store, if I'm a boss, periodically, I'm going to say, hey, you're doing a good job. That's awesome. And, If someone blesses your heart and a message touches your heart, don't be afraid to tell the preacher that. Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. And what I would say is, if he's standing next to your pastor, you could say something like this: Pastor, thank you so much for what you give to us. This was just some icing on the cake today.
Or you can say, thank you for bringing him in.
Exactly.
You know, because, I mean, absolutely. I'm like, hey, amen. Now you know why I did. Because it is an extra cost to the church.
Yeah.
You know, you may have to fly somebody in and house them and feed them, and then you want to show your gratitude and appreciation because the Bible says that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel, and so, you know, there's a love offering there. So, you know, it could be, you could be spending altogether just for somebody to come in on a Sunday, you could be spending $1,000 or much more
than
$2,000, you know, but I'm glad that I brought them in because there has been a benefit now. There's been a perceivable spiritual benefit, and how can you put a price on that? Of course, I'm not talking about, you know, some guy who may say, I don't come for less than $5,000 or whatever, you know, so.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You got a problem with that?
I got a good Canadian. Story on that one.
Canadian. Oh, I've got a story too. Oh, we've all got stories on those guys. Yeah. I'll never forget the first time I came across the border to preach. The guy, what do you call those guys? I just say border guards.
Border patrol, yeah.
Border patrol. Says, so why you come across? And I said, I'm coming to speak at a camp.
Oh,
and the guy says, you're what? I said, I'm coming to speak at a camp. And they said, what camp? And I told him it was a Christian camp. And he goes, so you're preaching? And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, so how much will you be getting paid? And I said, I don't know. He goes, well, you'll be getting paid. And I said, I really don't know. I said, I've not contracted that. I don't know. And he says, but normally you would get something. And I said, well, sir, I'll be honest with you. This is the first time I've ever gone to speak there. I really don't know. I'm honest with you. And he goes, so you'll get a love offering, though. And I thought, oh, boy.
He knew that.
He knew. He knew the term, right? And that's not a term the world uses, right? So I thought, uh-oh, this guy's like a disgruntled church member or something. And I said, sir, I will probably get a love offering. I do not know what it'll be. I'm sorry. I just don't know. And he says, well, I'll tell you right now. I shouldn't let you across because you're taking an American's job. You're coming here to work and take an American's job. And in my head, I thought, you know, when I get nervous, I go to the comedy. In my mind, I was thinking, well, if you had anybody here who could preach, I wouldn't have to come over. But I didn't say it. I didn't say it, and I didn't mean it either. And so I'm like, yes, sir. He goes, well, I'm going to let you go this time, but next time you better have an M-59 work visa.
Well, don't you still have your green card or no?
Well, I have one, but technically it's not valid. But
oh, okay.
if if I get into that, then I get into taxation issues.
Yes.
So whenever I come across, I told a preacher about it years ago, and he goes, no, you're not going to preach. You're going to visit friends. And I said, oh. And he said, aren't you going to visit friends? I'm like, yeah. He says, you're going to visit friends. And they accept that, and that's legitimate. That's honest. And so when I pulled the border, where are you going? I'm saying, I'm going to visit my friend Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. How many days are you going to be there? Three. Have a nice day. Every time. Every mm-hmm. time. But I don't always go to see you. I go to see other people too. But yeah. Yeah. So that's how you do that. So then
I that's because he knows me, because I prayed before Trump.
That's true. That's true. Oh, that Dan Wolven? Dayton, Ohio? The preacher who never took his sunglasses off? That one? That's him. Secret Service Dan Wolven? Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. The guy in the Lucky Charms suit? That's the one. He's magically delicious. I'm in like Flynn. Literally.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so there you go.
So I got to ask you this, because I truly don't know the answer. Why do you think so many pastors seem to be so sensitive?
Oh. I think because a lot of preachers are insecure to start with. A lot of insecurity. Because think about it. You have been called by God to serve a group of people that are challenged like we are with sin and living life. And I just think that there's some insecurities sometimes that come along with that type of position. Am I really worthy? Are we worthy to get up in the pulpit and expound the Word of God? You are, but I don't think I am sometimes. I look at my life and I think, wow, I'm a nobody. I'm just a guy that God chose out of millions. Like that makes me insecure. And then when a guy, especially if you're traveling and preaching, if I come to your church, I feel a pressure to, you know, do a really good job for the church and for you, obviously for the Lord always. But I want to leave there having you think that was a good investment for our church. That was something we needed.
Amen.
It's what we were looking for. So there's some things there. And then I think as a pastor, because sometimes there is criticism that comes along in the pastorate, there are people that do criticize. You preach too long. You're not exciting enough. I'm falling asleep. Or you see people falling asleep. You then become very, very aware of all things. And I think sometimes the weight of that makes people very sensitive. That's my thought. That's my thought.
Once I have been dealing with many of their legislators, you know, more up close and personal, I am dumbfounded by the vitriol that they have to deal with everywhere they go.
Absolutely.
I mean, everywhere they go, online, any post, you know, they can't even walk down the halls in their work duties without people just, you know, videoing them and harassing them and wanting them to say, leave me alone. You know, just it is amazing. It is incredible the amount of vitriol and negativity that good and decent legislators have to go through to where anymore, whenever I hear us as pastors, you know, we feel like we're martyrs because, you know, two people got mad. Now, it kills me. It just kills me when somebody leaves the church.
Right.
But, you know, we act as though we're going through something that is almost inhumane. And I see what could be happening to you or me. And I'm thinking, wow, well, you know, that's not near as bad as what some of these people. And we complain. They don't stand enough. Oh, yeah, they used to be strong, but now they gave in. But nobody's really come to their aid and said, thank you for standing strong. Maybe the older I am, and I don't want to say that this way because it's not true, I want to say the less I care, but I think it just the less it affects me.
Right.
Because I hope it's true. I want it to be true that as long as Jesus is pleased, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, good or bad.
Yeah.
Even though I do want to pay attention to every criticism and check to see the validity of it so I can improve.
Right. If you're a pastor today, know this. You're going to get praise and you're going to get criticism. You're going to get it. It doesn't matter who you are. And often those who criticize are, the real problem is not usually with the person they're criticizing. They're upset about something else, but sometimes they do criticize that person. But we do. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, I have to say, did I honor and glorify and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in what I did in my capacity today? And if I can put my head on the pillow and say, yeah, I did. I did the best of my ability, and then I have nothing to worry about. If that person's criticism was legitimate, and I have to step back and say, you know what? I really didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't study the way I should have. And I was not prepared, and I said something that was incorrect. Do I get upset because I pronounced a word wrong? Say, that's it. I'm never preaching again. I've had it. I'm mad at that guy. I'll never talk to him. No. No, I'm going to go back and I'm going to learn how to say that. And I'm going to, next time I go there, I'm going to say, hey, somebody taught me something. I appreciate that. He came in the right spirit. He was very kind. And that helped me. But if you get upset, you're going to be done in the ministry. You're just going to be done because there's going to be criticism. And I would say this as a church person. Before you criticize anybody that ever stands in the pulpit, you get up and preach a message. You preach a message. You get up, you study, you get up there in front of that crowd, and you determine that I'm going to leave them with something that will help form or change their lives forever. You preach the message and see if your criticisms don't go away a little bit.
It's interesting. We need to please the Lord. I'm not saying I do all the time, but I'll tell you, if I live a life that is truly spirit-filled, if I'm living a spirit-filled life every day, what people say is going to hurt, and the closer the person is to you, the more it hurts.
Yes.
But the closest ones to us need to be telling us the truth in order to help us.
Right.
You know, so I don't ever mind any things that justified. I remember one time I had an individual come to the platform and pray. And, you know, I was only thinking, you know, I don't think that this individual has probably ever led in prayer. And I just wanted to sort of, you know, amen, thank you for your faithfulness. But, and I had another member, you know, asked if he could schedule an appointment with me for something. And I said, sure. And about 4 or 5 days later, he sat in my office and was talking about a different passage, a particular passage that applied to this individual. And everybody in the church knew that it applied to this individual. And he was saying, so what was your thinking process of having them to come pray publicly? I said, you're exactly right. I didn't think about it. It was an impulse. It was something that I was standing there and thought, hey, I think I'll do this. I said, but what you're saying is right, and what you're saying is valid, and the Bible is what we follow, and I apologize. And if you think that I need to publicly apologize, I would certainly consider it. And he said, no, because I don't want that individual to feel bad.
Right.
And he said, I just want to know where you're at. And I said, well, I wasn't in line with the Word of God last Wednesday, and I apologize. Mm. You know,
right.
I mean, and so when you go through something like that, it helps you. And I said, I thank you for loving the book enough to come in and make sure that we're following the Word. You know, I said, thank you very much. I appreciate that. He didn't hold any particular office or anything. And I thought, well, you know, that takes a lot of guts to do that. And a lot of love for the Word to want to make sure that your family is attending a church where the Bible is followed. Mm-hmm. And so we do mess up. You know, I'd been in the ministry probably almost 30 years by that time. And, you know, just on a whim, I thought something. And so obviously I didn't think through it, to make sure it was consistent with the scripture.
Right,
and
right.
And I'm glad for that. I'm glad for people who love the Word of God who have that attitude.
Right. And let me say this, and this is going to take us a little bit beyond our usual mark, but this has gotten into something good here. Let me say this, that no preacher preaches a home run message every time. You just, there are circumstances of life that distract
the
us.
The mighty Casey has struck out.
Right. And I struck out, plenty
Amen,
of times.
Amen, brother.
But, you know, Babe Ruth didn't hit a home run every time. He was a great home run hitter, but he didn't hit one every time. But you remember those home runs. It's exciting. And so your pastor, any pastor, is going to have certain times when God just aligns with him. The Holy
Amen.
Spirit is there. He's had the time. He's had the prayer. He's had the support. And he's going to knock it out of the park. And the next week, he's probably going to be so spiritually drained and so attacked by the devil that week. The next one may not be quite the same. And that's something that I think we need to understand as a people, that you know, maybe your pastor spent the week in a hospital with a family who, with somebody who was dying, or maybe he had his own personal things that he had to deal with. And so there may be times when he's not, you know, right on the money, and, you know, give him a little slack. But as a preacher, you know, the primary purpose of the preacher is to preach. And so we've got to be ready for that. So don't, as a pastor, say, well, you know, I didn't prepare because I just got too busy. No. You got to stay up late. You got to get up early, whatever. You got to give people the word too. So I think we have to remember both of those points. And then as a preacher, let's understand that people are people. And sometimes I've said in my marriage, and I've said to the church, I'm sorry. I said something, did something, you're offended, I'm sorry. Did I think I was wrong? Not necessarily. I don't think I was wrong. I might have been wrong in how I said it, and I might have been wrong in how maybe I handled the situation. But was I completely wrong? No. But it never hurts me to say, I'm sorry. That does not hurt me. And it helps people sometimes just to know.
And to be genuine.
That you're willing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be yep. willing to say, I messed up. I'm sorry. And for what it's worth, it can be very helpful. That's all I got to say. You get last word.
Yeah, last thing I thought of was I am thankful that I grew up with the preachers that I did.
Yeah.
My dad, Brother Thompson, Larry Clayton, they were vicious.
They were
vicious. If they saw something that was a weakness or bothered
mm-hmm.
somebody,
mm-hmm.
they stepped on it and hammered that
yep.
and joked and made fun. And so growing up that way, it helped toughen me up, because I can remember sometimes, and, you know, I would joke and tease and kid and things too, but I fully understood I'm only a kid still. You know, even
yeah.
though I'm a junior or senior in high school, I'm still not their equal, but I'd sort of give back some too. But I can remember times that I was cut by what was said.
Yep.
And I was wounded or hurt. My feelings were hurt, even though I laughed and it was a funny thing that was said. My feelings were hurt. And looking back, I'm glad they were because it helped toughen me up.
Yeah.
Now, very rarely, there's only a very few people that could really hurt my feelings in whatever
Hello.
They say. Yeah.
Hello.
No. No, not hardly. And so that helped me. I mean, I looking backward now, that helped me. That helped toughen me up
yeah.
and prepare, especially even for the ministry. And so I think we also live and have lived in a generation and a half or so that where no one can possibly offend somebody else, and we've not really been toughened up, you know. And so, you know, I in preaching before, you know, I've said, look, how many people we do not tell somebody the gospel because we're embarrassed or we think somebody's going to laugh at us? Don't raise your hand. I said, now, let me ask you a second question. Raise your hand if someone has ever laughed at you about something you did or said. Every hand goes up.
Yep.
And I say, look at that. You're still alive, even though somebody laughed at you. Well, then why are we so afraid to tell somebody the gospel? Because somebody may laugh at us. We're still alive. It's all right. You know, so there needs to be a little bit of toughening up. And so looking backward, I'm not saying insult everybody, make them feel bad, but
no.
I'm glad that I did live in an era and with a group of people that I had to get tough to survive, you know, in that joking kind of a manner.
Right.
And, you know, in learning that it's good to be self-deprecating in order to, you know, laugh at yourself first.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people know this, that John 11:35 in the Bible is the shortest verse in the Bible, but the second shortest verse in the Bible is directed towards pastors and congregations. It's "Suck it up, buttercup." and that's sometimes what you got to do.
That's the Canadian version.
That's the Canadian version, yeah. Yeah, and really, you do. Just realize people say dumb things. People are going to say dumb things. Both the pastor's going to say dumb things. The congregation's going to say dumb things. Let's just cancel each other out and say, hey, I give you one. You know, just don't let that stuff bother you too long. It'll eat you up if you do. It'll destroy you if you let it. And you just got to realize that sometimes people are going to say the wrong thing the wrong way, or sometimes they're not going to say the right thing the right way. On both sides, and you got to let that go, and just like we said many times, you're serving the Lord. You have to please the Lord. Ultimately, if you're pleasing the Lord, the other stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, just think about this: if we die before the rapture, and we're sitting around heaven with a group of preachers, and you know, somebody says, "Hey, how'd you get to heaven?" and John goes, "Well, I was boiled in oil and, you know, people shot arrows at me and things, you know, but I wound up dying." And Peter's standing there saying, "Oh, well, that's interesting. I was crucified upside down." Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Thomas says, "Well, I was an Indian. I was bludgeoned to death, you know." "Oh, that's something." And they say, "What happened to you in the ministry?" And they say, "Somebody made fun of me after I preached one Sunday morning." And they all go, "Whoa!"
That's right.
Maybe we ought to think of those things a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Great week. We have one more to come, and on with us Friday is Brother Steve Damron. We're going to do a little cross podcasting, and he's going to be with us. Brother Damron is a former student of mine at Heritage Christian School in Cleveland, and he was on Brother Wolven's soccer team for his senior years. I had him for his junior years, and he caused me great grief and sorrow and criticism.
I forgot about that story.
Yeah. Maybe we'll tell it on Friday. Yeah, we'll see. He's a great guy.
Yes,
and,
he is.
Has retired from the pastorate, is now doing some great educational things, and he's going to be with us on Friday. I'm Al Stone. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to compliment every preacher I'm with. I'm going to say that was the greatest introduction anybody ever gave me. That was the greatest closing of a service anybody ever did. I'm going to try and help pastors that way. Be complimentary.
Yeah.
This is the best.
Won't affect your love offering at all.
No.
And by the way, preachers out there, when you invite me to come and preach, just it helps me a lot more financially. If I get a hate offering instead of a love offering, it's usually double what I would have gotten.
Yeah.
So,
well, I just want to say, of all the podcast co-hosts I've worked with today, you are the best. You did a great job. You're phenomenal.
You're the best one so far.
No, you're the best. So far. Till I can find somebody who works cheap.
Well, we're going to be recording later with Brother Damron, so
he ain't got a chance. I hope he was raised.
Two against one.
I hope he was raised in a den of wolves like you were, so he can take it.
He was.
This is Tim Talks. We'll be back on Friday with Brother Steve Damron. Get ready. Here it comes. I'm Al. That's Dan. And this is the Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.